Ever feel like you're just drowning in information? But what you really need are those few key insights, the signal in the noise.
Absolutely. It's easy to get overwhelmed.
Well, today we're doing just that. We're diving deep into a really fascinating shift, a change in direction within an organization. It's got some, well, pretty big implications, and it all comes from some internal documents we've managed to look at.
Yeah, and looking at how they navigated this change might actually give us all some pointers,
Yeah,
for any kind of mission-driven work.
that's a great point. What's really striking, I think, is how open these documents are. They give this very candid view of them rethinking their core purpose.
Totally transparent. You don't always see that.
No, you don't. We're looking at bits from Make the Pivot to Fulfill the Vision.pdf and also Restatement of Vision Message to Board and Investors.pdf. And what jumped out, at least for me, was their original aim.
Yeah, really clearly stated.
To make the good news of God's kingdom accessible, right? Especially for people who might be overlooked, the marginalized, and to speed up how they grasp it using new sort of non-traditional ways.
That's the core mission we're digging into. And maybe we should just quickly touch on what God's kingdom generally means in their context, just for clarity.
Good idea, because it could mean different things to different people.
Right. So based on these documents, it seems to be about the core beliefs and principles of their faith, the foundational messages they feel are, well, vital for people to understand. It's the good news part.
Got it. The substance they want to share. So they had this strong purpose, this mission, but these documents show what they call a pivot, a really significant one.
A definite change in course.
Okay, so let's unpack that. What exactly is the shift? What's the essence of it?
Well, fundamentally, it's about reordering their main priorities. It looks like at the start they had sort of a dual focus.
Right, like two main things.
Yeah, pioneering new tech and spreading their message. But now the documents are super clear. The number one goal is getting that message out. Full stop.
And the tech.
The technology, it's moved into, well, clearly a supporting role. Still important, maybe, but secondary.
There's a line in one of the docs that just, it really nails this change. It says something like, "Before, it seemed our purpose was balanced between the spreading of the message of the gospel and creating a new technology. Now, it is clear our mission is spreading the message of the gospel. The technology is the secondary byproduct." I mean, that's a pretty clear pivot, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely, it's a major shift. And it seems like it came from this interesting realization about the tools themselves.
Like the AI video, all that stuff.
Exactly. The initial excitement might have been about the potential of those tools, but then they kind of realized, hey, these aren't really unique to us anymore.
Oh, okay.
As they put it, the entire world has access to these tools. It makes you wonder, was there like one moment or event that made them see the tech differently?
That's a good question. The documents don't exactly pinpoint a single aha moment. It feels more gradual.
Like a dawning realization.
Yeah, like they slowly understood that just having the tech wasn't the differentiator anymore because, well, everyone was starting to have it. Cutting edge got kind of crowded.
Right. So it became less about having the fanciest gadget.
And more about what you actually do with whatever tools you have. There's another quote that follows right up on that. So now, all of our objectives boil down to what we build with these tools, not our fascination with them.
That's key. It's the outcome, not the tech itself.
Yeah.
The focus shifts from just mastering the tool to how effectively you use it for the mission.
Which does raise that question, though. By shifting focus away from, say, heavy AI development, are they potentially missing out on something? What's the trade-off?
That's a really interesting angle.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they're giving up on being AI pioneers in the strictest sense,
Yeah.
but the document suggests they're doing it to free up energy resources.
To focus on the message delivery.
Exactly. Content distribution outreach. It seems like they calculated that right now, getting the message out effectively is more crucial than having like the most unique AI imaginable.
Okay, so that makes sense strategically. How does this pivot then, change things day to day? Priorities must shift, right?
Oh,
Resources.
absolutely.
Yeah.
If you fundamentally change your main goal, everything else has to follow. How you spend your time, your money, it all gets reevaluated.
And how you measure success too, I guess.
Definitely. Your milestones, your KPIs, whatever you call them, they need to align with this new singular focus on getting the message out and seeing it have an impact.
And the first concrete step they mention is creating this thing called a ministry model. What's the idea there? Were earlier attempts maybe not working as well as they hoped?
It seems they recognized they were kind of set on. exploring new ground and how they connect with their audience.
Yeah.
So instead of trying to design the perfect system up front,
which is impossible anyway, right?
Right. They're going for this iterative approach. Try something, see how it lands, get feedback, tweak it, try again.
Yeah, there's that quote. We start not by designing the perfect model, but by taking the first step. Adjust and refine the model until it is effective. Very practical. Learn by doing.
Exactly. Action, observation, adaptation. It's very agile, responsive.
And interestingly, they combine this practical approach with something else.
Yes. Alongside the trial and error, there's this strong emphasis on, well, seeking spiritual guidance, listening for the voice of God, as they put it, to help shape the model.
Which adds a really unique layer to their strategy. It's not just business planning.
Not at all. It's this blend of pragmatic steps and spiritual discernment.
Okay, so let's get down to specifics then. How are they actually moving resources around to support this? What does that look like?
Well, the documents show a clear shift. More resources are going towards creating and sharing content that directly serves the main message.
So more videos using existing texts, that kind of thing.
Exactly. Video teachings, drawing on religious texts and scholarship, making it all easy to access. And this is different from before, when it sounds like a lot more resources were poured into building their own, you know, unique and powerful AI.
Right, right. There's that quote that really highlights it. This is a slight deviation from my former approach of putting a significant amount of resources into the AI. It just shows that pivot in action.
It really does. And right after that, they say something crucial about technology going forward.
What's that?
We must hold technology loosely and fluidly. The idea is tech is an enabler. It helps them do the main thing, but it's not the main thing itself. It's not what defines them.
Yeah, they're very clear. We master it to the degree that we can effectively leverage it, not to distinguish ourselves by it. We will now be distinguished by the model that enables us.
See, that's the shift. Innovation isn't in the tech. It's in the method, the how of connecting and impacting people. That's a huge distinction.
It really is. So the focus moved outwards now, towards the people they're trying to reach, their customers, as the doc says.
Precisely. There's a big push for more engagement, broader communication.
More articles, blogs, podcasts, using all the channels. But they're quite intentional about how they communicate, aren't they?
Yes, very. They specifically want to avoid getting caught up in, like, chasing social media metrics. Likes, shares, that sort of thing.
Ah, interesting. So not playing the algorithm game.
Seems not. The document says we can't conform to the paradigm of social media algorithms based on the number of likes.
Wow. That's countercultural these days. So what did they focus on?
On the actual intended outcome of their communication. Did it achieve what they wanted it to achieve? That's their measure of success, not just, you know, vanity metrics.
As they put it, this will require a purposeful focus on the intended outcomes of our communication strategy by which we measure our success. Makes sense. Impact over clicks.
Which then leads to this other really strong point.
Yeah.
They're committed to saying what they believe they need to say, even if it's not popular.
Regardless of the reaction.
Yep. The quote is direct. We must focus on communicating what God instructs us to communicate, whether it's popular or not. That shows real dedication to the mission over, say, public approval.
That takes guts, real conviction. Now, another big piece of this pivot seems to be partnering up with content creators. Why is that suddenly so important?
Well, if you're shifting towards curating content, bringing together stuff that already exists or is emerging, you need the people who make that stuff on board.
Right. You need their permission, obviously.
Yes, but it's more than just legal permission, more than copyright. The documents talk about building real ties of trust.
Oh, okay. Like actual relationships.
Exactly. And fostering a partnership of mutual enablement and benefit. It's about creating this kind of ecosystem where everyone's mission, the creators and theirs, moves forward together.
That sounds like it needs a specific skill set to manage. Someone good with people.
Definitely. They highlight needing someone who truly understands the art of creating relationships and isn't, like, intimidated by potentially big partners.
Yeah.
That sounds like a crucial role.
Yeah, relationship builder.
And they stress this person needing a mindset of grace rather than judgment, which suggests, you know, focusing on common ground, shared goals, empathy.
Rather than getting hung up on differences.
Precisely. And underlying all this partnership building is, again, an element of faith, a belief that the right connections will happen.
Is there a quote for that?
Yeah, a powerful one.
Okay.
God will create the alliances necessary to achieve our mission and not our abilities to notarize ourselves. Because, Actually, the mission is his, not ours.
Wow. That really says a lot about their core beliefs, relying on something beyond just their own efforts.
It really does. Now, all this change also seems to have kind of clarified or even elevated the role of the curator in the organization.
How so? What's changed there?
Well, it seems the understanding of that role has deepened significantly. Maybe initially it was seen as just, you know, gathering messages.
It's a collector.
Sort of. But now the curator is seen as actively weaving things together, taking different pieces of content and creating a new coherent story that serves the bigger message.
Okay, so it's much more strategic, more like an editor or even a producer.
Yeah, maybe closer to that. The document says, God has shown me that this is not just about taking random messages. It is about taking everything that's available and weaving it into a story that fits a broader message.
So not just collecting, but constructing meaning. That person needs to be really plugged into the mission then.
Deeply. They say the curator needs to be in tune with God to know what to pick and how to synthesize it effectively. They even use this analogy.
What is it?
Comparing it to building powerful new messages out of existing sermons, making the whole thing exponentially more powerful through curation.
That's quite a responsibility, and it sounds like this realization might have been a bit intense for the person in that role.
Yes, the documents are quite candid about that. There's a sense of grappling with the weight of this, of stepping into a role that's maybe more central, more influential than first thought.
How do they describe it?
The curator comes to see themselves as both prophet and teacher. That carries a lot of weight, doesn't it? It implies a significant impact.
It absolutely does. It really shows the personal side of this strategic shift, the sense of calling involved. Now, throughout these documents, there's this underlying feeling. They mention a sense of urgency. What's driving that?
It seems tied to a belief that this is a really pivotal moment, globally speaking, a time when things are being reshaped and there's a window of opportunity.
Like seize the day.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Seize the moment while the world is in flux. The goal seems to be to build something lasting during this period of change.
Something that will endure. And the key is this curated content, making it faster for people to learn their core ideas.
Exactly. Using all this existing and new material to create a more direct, more profound learning path for these kingdom principles.
Okay. But even with all this clarity and urgency, there's also a hint of worry, a concern mentioned in the materials. What's that about?
It's a really interesting self-aware point. The worry is basically, does everyone who got involved early on fully buy into this version of the mission?
Because the focus shifted from tech and message to mostly message.
Precisely. There's this very direct, almost vulnerable question posed. What frightens me is that I'm not sure that this is what everyone signed up for. Had this been clearly articulated as the mission from the beginning, who would have signed on, I wonder?
Wow. That's some serious introspection, worrying about keeping everyone aligned.
Yeah, it shows a real concern for the team, for the investors, for everyone involved. And importantly, the worry isn't primarily about the money.
Right. They clarify that. It's not about financial returns.
No. The documents are clear. The concern isn't, will this make money? It's more like, are we all still pulling in the same direction to fulfill the mission? There's a belief that financial success will follow if they fulfill the mission, but that fulfillment is seen as being, you know, ultimately in the hands of God.
So the core worry is about mission alignment, not profit.
Exactly. Mission first.
Okay, so wrapping up our deep dive here, we've seen a really significant strategic shift. This organization consciously pivoted.
Uh-huh. Moving away from that dual focus on tech innovation and message.
To a laser focus on the message itself.
Yeah.
With technology becoming this crucial but secondary enabling tool.
Right. And that core mission hasn't changed. Making their message accessible, especially to the marginalized, and speeding up understanding using these innovative curated methods.
It really makes you think. So for anyone listening, as you think about your own projects, your own work, what's the real why driving it all?
Yeah, what's that core purpose?
And then how does the tools, the strategies you use, how does that genuinely serve the ultimate goal?
It's definitely something worth mulling over, isn't it? Especially in a world that's always changing.